Take me to Romans chapter 8. A chapter, no doubt, from which many of us have, upon many occasions in the past, I'm sure, gathered much help and blessing and comfort and instruction. I don't think I could possibly say anything new about it. I want the rather to engage your hearts and minds in some old and well-loved truths. It would be lovely to read all the chapter. I want the rather to select certain things. And if you're looking down into your Bible with me, then I want you to see verse 22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so you will see, beloved, that according to the writer here, the whole creation is travailing. Now we know that travail is that which precedes birth. And the whole idea of birth and life and everything is wrapped up even in the very corruption and corruptness of the universe in which we live. It's all groaning together. There's going to be a great birth. And this is the wonder of it all. We know in this sense it's going to be the birth of a new era, a great new age. It's going to be a wonderful time. And we have the spirit of that in us now. As we look higher up in verse 15, we, not the whole creation, but he is distinguishing now between us and them. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. And those of us who are the children of God have the spirit of that great event in our hearts, the spirit of what is called the adoption. I don't particularly want to spend time on that now, but it is the wonderful time when, by the coming of Christ and by the catching up of those that remain and look for him on the earth, and the resurrection of those who, born of God, have already gone before, then the whole body is going to know wonderful redemption. The human body will know redemption. It will become a body like unto his glorious body, called a resurrection body. That is the same kind of body wherewith Christ came out of the tomb. And we shall know the glories of the ascension that they celebrated 40 days afterwards from Olivet. And we shall glory and rejoice in that event and the ushering in of the new age of God. But, well, we'll all know about it then. But we're told, beloved, that the whole creation is groaning, travailing. And we too, it says, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, in verse 23. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, I want to ask you a question. left upon the basis of bland and stupid assumptions, and not upon the ground of uttermost reality. I want to ask you whether you're included in that we. Whether you can say, well, I have the first fruits of the Spirit. You may then answer me thus and say, well, what are they, pray? And I'll tell you whether I have them. That's fine. A certain gentleman, I won't say his name, but he's the master of the house in which I've been staying for this last day or two, invited me to look into his store cupboard. And when I looked into his store cupboard, I won't tell you what they keep in the store cupboard, or where they go to through their store cupboard, or what happened to him one day in his store cupboard. He'll have to tell you. It's associated with another family in the fellowship. But I had a look in at his invitation. Now I'm sleeping in the room where it's kept. Talk about having a midnight feast if I wanted one. My, they got some fruit in that cupboard. It's all in tins. Lots of it. It's all in that store cupboard. So if ever you're invited to tea to that house, you go. It's all right. But you see, if I said to them, have you got these things in your store cupboard? I don't suppose he'd have a clue, but his wife certainly would know what she'd got. You see, she would say, yes, we have these fruits. Oh, I saw some peach slices, and I saw some all sorts of things. My eyes always catches peach slices when I'm looking in store cupboards. But the point, beloved, for us to understand is this, that we must not blandly assume we're in such a verse because the Bible's a good book and says sweet things and has lovely texts in it that you put in promise boxes and write on calendars and give away for Christmas. You mustn't think that it's that. We've got to see, beloved, that we have these first fruits in our lives. We will examine the chapter in a moment or two. For Paul doesn't leave it to guesswork, or rather the Holy Ghost that inspired Paul to write it, that we should know exactly and be able to put our fingers on it and say, yes, that's right. But before we do that, we have been engaged this afternoon in this glorious time together. There are times that I love. I never need inviting twice to partake in this kind of a service. In fact, I almost feel I have the moral right now in that I walked in yesterday into the flat and father had baby in his arms and he said to baby, and I don't suppose the baby understood one word what he said, but still, he said, here comes father, pointing to me, you see. And yes, you mustn't talk like that to your father, he said, because he spoke in baby language to me. But what a tremendous thing it is, beloved. This whole wonderful life into which we've been born. For you know, don't you, that children are the fruit of the union between the man and the woman. They are the fruit, the evidence, the proof of the union. Now, beloved, has it ever struck you that in you have to have the evidence, the proof of the union between God the Father and God the Holy Ghost and God the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to have the evidence and the proof of that. We hear talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, just, if I came round and asked you all individually, what do you really know about this beyond a sort of a theological thing that the Bible talks about and they bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in services and all that sort of thing. What do you really know about it? Have you ever realized, beloved, that it is in the glorious knowledge and function and giving unto this great God his proper way and right in our lives that it is in this knowledge of their union in our lives lies our eternal life. Did you know that? I mean, you go to an evangelical service, for instance, praise God for them, and the gospel is preached, and you hear Jesus talked about, and the sacrifice that he made at Calvary, and the blood that he shed, and the atonement that he made, and the forgiveness that you can have, and the heaven that you can go to. All so wonderful. And you were taught to pray Our Father, which art in heaven, when you went to school or Sunday school. And you heard something about the Holy Spirit. But has it ever dawned upon you that it is in the glorious fulfillment in your life of these three wonderful persons, that it is the fruit of their union in you, that you first know anything about the first fruits of the Spirit? Did you realize that? That if you're going to know anything about the first fruits of the Spirit in your life, beloved, you have to know the glory of the fact. You may not understand it all at the time, but as surely as you want to know and go on and grow and get into this great life of God, you have to know this great coming together of Father and the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ working in your life. Until, beloved, by the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, until you opening your heart to believe and receive the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, until this, the Father cannot give you birth into his family. It's the coming together. Salvation is not the work of one person in the Godhead alone. It is the work of all three. New birth is the result of the working together of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost upon you and in you to bring you by God's grace into this same life that Jesus Christ, the Carpenter of Nazareth, lived on this earth, and now gloriously lives in heaven. This is the wonder of it all. You must know what it is to be born again of God. Amen. And when God does this in your life, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. And so, beloved, when you are born again, in verse 9 of this chapter, you have this in the last part of the verse. You have the Spirit of Christ. Amen. When you are born again, you are born again a glorious new spirit. And you are born with the Spirit of Christ. That means to say that you have the nature and the attitude of Christ. You have the disposition of the Christ of God. You have this glorious newness within you, and everybody knows when they have it. There's such a remarkable change. There's such a glorious passing away of what you used to be. That old self has gone by the cross, by the board, by the power of God. It's gone. All a lot of it. Amen. And you know that you're a new person inside. You know it. Hallelujah. Now, you might be a long time coming to this. Most of us are. But there comes a time, beloved, when by the grace and power of God, we believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in the work he did at Calvary and crying only to be cleansed in his blood and wanting only to be a new person and be what God wants you to be, Then, beloved, by the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon your life and moving in the will of the Father, you are begotten of that will and added to the family of God. And you come out and you have this great, you are the fruit of the Spirit, that's it, in yourself. You have this great first fruit. You are a new person. You're not just a Christian person. Alas, alas, so many people call themselves Christian persons because they have Christian beliefs and have Christian practices wrought upon them and go through Christian ordinations as opposed, say, to Buddhist ordinations or black magic ordinations or what you will. But that doesn't make a Christian. Was there any sort of thing performed on that babe to make it a baby and a child of the hussies? Did it go through rites and ordinations? Did somebody come with mumbo jumbo or sprinkling stuff or waving stuff or doing anything over him? Didn't he come forth from them? Isn't he the fruit of their union? Hallelujah. So, beloved, no more can a child of man on this earth become a child of God by believing this and adding that to this and going through this and having somebody else give them that. Beloved, it is a work of God that is wrought when our heart truly comes to believe on Jesus Christ, and this finds out whether a man ever does really believe on Jesus Christ, for as soon as they really believe on Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the will of God, they're born into the family of God, a new curse, new person. And until that, they're not a Christian. Amen. Wonderful. Hey, I bless God, there's no mistake about this. We can't be this brand of a Christian or that brand of a Christian. It can't be Anglican Christian or Baptist Christian or Methodist Christian or Brethren Christian or what do you call this place? Nothing. Fellowship Christian. You can't be that. You can't be that. You've got to be born of God. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Thank God for this great illuminatory effect. No man can work it. No man can do anything. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all of God. Praise Him. Now, when a person is born into this world, they are, as we know, a triune being. They are spirit, mind, and body. Is that right? Now, when we're born of God, these same three factors in here, eyes down on the chapter. Verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There you have Spirit joined on with the last part of verse 9. All right? Didn't know you were coming to Sunday school, did you? To look at your Bibles and learn what it says there. And that Spirit, now we have mind. Verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh you have carnally minded, if you're using a King James Version. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. You can't have eternal life and this peace of God that passes understanding without the mind of the Spirit. Amen. It's not only a spiritual thing, but it's a mental thing or a thing of the soul. Right. Down we go again. And we read in this same glorious truth in verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead, has to be, praise God, because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And there you have spirit, soul, and body. And it's in these great realms, beloved, that we must have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, what is the first fruit of the Spirit in my spirit, in the spiritual realm? Here it is. He brings in a new law so that I live under an entirely new sovereign in a new ages. I live in a new life. And here's the law, that whereas when I was dead, that is when I was unsaved, when I was away from God, my life was run by the law of sin and death. When I am born again of the Spirit of God, I come in, beloved, and I have a new law in my spirit, and it's the Spirit of the life, the law of the Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus. I'm revolutionized spiritually. I live by a different law. All right? Got that? This is one of the first fruits of the Spirit. Do you know your spirit now to be under a different law? That you're not compelled to sin anymore by the awful drive and impetus of sin? You're not legally now forced or bound to commit any of the sins that I could start off now and name. Physical, sexual, characteristic, habitual. You're not now driven. Amen. You're under a different law. Don't you believe in the kingdom of God? Don't you believe in the kingship of Christ? Don't you believe in this wonderful kingdom? This is the fruit. I have this on earth. I may be groaning with the whole of creation, waiting for the great time when Jesus shall come. That may be so, because I know that this present time isn't worthy to be compared with that great time ahead. But while I'm on this earth, I am to enjoy the privilege of sonship in that glorious kingdom where I do not come anymore under the bondage of sin in my spirit. And because that weight has been lifted, because that law has been broken, my spirit's come free. Amen. My spirit is at liberty. Amen. I, beloved, glory, here it is. We ought to have read it if we didn't read it. I think we did, didn't we, in verse 15? We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm not bound to anything to frighten me. Hallelujah. I'm not bound to anything of which I'm afraid. I'm afraid to sin. I would be afraid if I lived in sin. I would be afraid to continue in its bondages. I would be afraid to be in its darkness. I would be afraid to be in its separation from God. Well, I might be afraid with an awful pit yawning at my feet, waiting to swallow me up. But I'm free from it. Hallelujah, with an open path to heaven ever opening up before me, living in the kingdom of God, free. The first fruits of the Spirit, glory, and do I enjoy them? I enjoy my liberty, you know. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful to be free from sin. You can't half enjoy holiness then. Holiness isn't the sort of a black stockings and a bun at the back of your neck and a blue look about you and all this. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Ladies, what do men wear under those circumstances? Black suits, all right. It's not black. You may think it is. But here's the tremendousness of it, beloved. Free. It's a law in heaven. My God, my Father says, this man shall not be bound any longer. Thank you, Father. It's a law in heaven. I just live according to the heavenly laws and it's all okay. This is what God wants you and me to understand. Now my mind, that would be utterly useless if my mind was not dealt with. And my mind is dealt with. Especially when I see this in verse 3, that what the law, that is the Mosaic law, couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now you've got to see this. God has condemned sin in the flesh. Condemned it. Praise God. But he didn't sort of sit up in heaven and condemn it offhand, out of hand, and say, oh, it's all wrong. You people are all wrong. You're a wicked lot of sinners. And so and so and so and so and so and so. He came right down here, and this is how he condemned it. He lived above it, down on this earth. He lived free of it, and he showed us it wasn't necessary for any man to sin. Sin never glorifies God. It's not necessary for any man to sin, since that one man lived on this earth as a glorious God in the flesh. He made his Son in the likeness of my sinful flesh, so prone to running into sin by the law of sin that works within its members. And Jesus worked with a new law in his members. Glory be to God. A law of righteousness. A law of the Spirit of life. Amen. Life. And life is only life when it's not mixed up with sin. Life is only life when it's free from corruption. Life is life because it's holy and pure and incorruptible and eternal. That's a quality. That's what God gives you. It isn't a matter of church going, though I advise you to go. It isn't a matter of taking communion, but I advise you to take it. It isn't a matter of getting baptized, though I advise you to be baptized. It's a matter of living in the great, great law of God. And the law of God, beloved, is the law of life. It has to be lived. Not spoken. He's condemned sin in the flesh. And what do you think about that? And that's most important, for we read that the righteousness of the law, verse 4, must be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, now the Spirit of God has come to your spirit to set your spirit free. Now you've got to start to walk after that Spirit who's come. You haven't got to walk according to a tradition or the customs of your father or your mother. Particularly, as much as we pray that mothers and fathers should be a representation of God to their children. We've got to walk after the Spirit of God when he comes. Amen. And one of the great tests of it is this. In the mental realm, if you have the mind of the flesh in verse 6, that in itself is death. You may talk about being born again until you're black in the face. You may be talking and attesting the fact that you're a Christian when the very trumpet of God blows and be left behind on the earth. A man's life is never changed until his mind is altered. He's not born again and then goes through a long, laborious system and process of 25 years to get his mental powers changed. Glory to God, the mental powers of me govern my life, do they not? God changes a man's mind. He gives him the mind of the Spirit when he's born again. And he thinks it's right to do the will of God. And that's his righteousness. He thinks it's right. And he acts it out. And John, very pragmatical, says, they that do righteousness are righteous. That's right. Not they that dream about it or believe in the Ten Commandments. This is the tremendous thing, beloved. He gives us the mind of the Spirit. And the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Oh, how can a man have peace until his mental powers are changed? How can he? How can you tell a man you've been liberated in your spirit, now do this and be that, if all the time his mind is after fleshly things? He thinks of the worldly things. He thinks of satisfying his flesh. He thinks of self-promotion and self-justification and own back and all this thing called fairness and justice. He never thinks about fairness and justice anymore. He's seen the fair face of Jesus. He's known the glory of God. He can undergo anything. He doesn't care what the world does. He doesn't care if it treads his blood into the dirt like Jesus' blood. He doesn't care. That's what they did with Jesus at Calvary. He's got a new mind. Entirely thinks differently. And of course he's always got peace. He's not out fighting for himself. He's got no rights to stick up for. Hallelujah. He can only see God's rights. He has nothing to live for now but God. He's got no reputation to keep. He's lost that. Jesus made himself of no reputation and made me of no reputation at the same time. Said, you really think that? Yes, I honestly think it. What's use a preacher man if he doesn't say what he thinks? He's a humbug. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He gives you the mind of the Spirit. And if you haven't got the mind of the Spirit, my beloved, you've never been born of God. This is sort of one of the furthest reaches of holiness in some circles. It's basic life in God's estimation. Basic life. Glory. Don't think the same anymore. Amen. Why, sometimes you listen to people, why in the world they come to that conclusion? What do they think that for? I suppose they think it about you. But there it is. It's the mind of the Spirit. It says the mind of the flesh, verse 7. It isn't subject to the law of God. It can't be. It's enmity against God. And assured you have the mind of the flesh, my beloved, you're in the flesh, living in the flesh, living for the flesh, wanting this world. You're not wanting the adoption, and you haven't got the spirit of the adoption in you either. For the spirit of the adoption cries, Abba, Father! And it's waiting for Father to say, Gabriel, blow the trumpet. That's what it's waiting for. It's not waiting to get a better job. It's not waiting to get a PhD. Ooh. It's not waiting for that. Glory be to the name of the Lord. May have to take that work, take it in its stride as it goes. Did you have to take it, brother?
No, of course.
You see, it's not necessary then, don't you? The first fruits of the Spirit. Glory. Now this is what God is after. I want to tell you that this is one of the first fruits of the Spirit, not the last, just before you're sublimated and glorified. The first. Glory. Isn't God good to bring us into a place where we've got a mind that's at perfect peace? Amen. Nothing can shatter it. Nothing can alter it. Good news or bad news, leave it untouched. Say that over bad it might grieve, and over good it will rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Got a mind like that? You see, it's after the Spirit, and the Spirit is bringing the law of the life that's in Christ Jesus into me. Glory, isn't this wonderful? I start to live by a different law. And people say, oh, you can't do that. But you can, you see. Say, oh, that's impossible. Oh, but it's not. Different law. We're in the law where miracles happen. You see, miracles are only intervention of a higher law. That's all. Down into human law, that's all. And we're living in this this realm. Don't you see? And so all the spirits of the world and of the devil, they have to go. Go on. That's right. Go and take your fingers off. And take your darkness and depression out. Go on. Take your sin with you. And go. Yeah. Take your corruption and your sickness and go. Amen. We're living in a different realm. We're in a kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's have the glory of it all. Stop living down here. Live according to this law. If you live according to the flesh, you're a dead person. Amen. And how about this body of mine? Well, this is a wonderful idea that God had. A wonderful thought of God. A glorious imagination of God. He saw that in having the body of Jesus Christ nailed on that cross, that if he came down here and became a man. Oh, you know, let's turn over. I think in parentheses, I've got a mind that hops about like this. And in the end of the 11th chapter, you hear this great piano of praise. You listen to it. Oh, the depth, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Paul didn't write that because it was sort of a nice psalmody and would fit nice to music and ought to rank with David in the Psalter. He wrote it because his worshipping and adoring spirit was carried away in the glory of it all. Oh, the wonder, the glory, the thrill. Oh, it's over and above everything else. He's worshipping at the feet of him of whom he's writing. And nobody writes or preaches except they be there. It's a lot of claptrap and wordy nonsense. Amen. And here's the truth of God in that great 8th chapter. This wonderful mind of God. He conceived it all. That if Jesus Christ was nailed on that cross and sin was placed upon him and he bore sin in his body, mark you, in his body his spirit kept clear and pure all the way through. But in his body he bore that sin and all the law of it and all the sickness that was a result of it and all the demon hosts that play upon it, and he bore it there on the cross and then he died. Amen. Left the devil with nothing. Hallelujah. He died. You see what a fool the devil is. Amen. That's what he comes to. Nothing. Amen. You talk about the wisdom of God. Oh, how shall we worship him in making this atonement? What wonders did he work? Glory! This complicated, and yet when you see it, simple. Scheme and fullness of salvation in Christ. Oh, it's so grand. And you see, he knew, he got this, that if he died, and the body came to death, our bodies could come to death too. Death to sin. And that all these workings in our members could come to death. Hallelujah. That was what it was for. He didn't just make a spiritual atonement. You weren't saved in Gethsemane. He didn't just make a mental atonement. You weren't saved in Gethsemane. You were saved by the shedding of the physical blood of Jesus Christ in atonement on Calvary. It's a complete thing. It wasn't mental attrition. Amen. It wasn't spiritual abnegation. It was glorious physical death to bring to an end in me while I live on this earth, that I might have the paradise of God in me on this earth while I await his coming. To bring to an end the workings of this great law of sin and death in me. And here I find it, and I read it, that if Christ be in me, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. All the time Christ is in me, that this body of sin is dead. Glory, its workings are dead. Because of sin, that's why. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. And I've been through a death and a resurrection in my mortal body, that I might live unto him. Glory. Spirit and soul and body by his grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Abroad in the line with the great purposes of God. That when he turns and says to a man, says to me as he says to a man of old, go and sin no more. I can say, thank you, Lord. I was by your grace. That's right. Amen. That's right. Oh, the power of it. Oh, the wonder of it. I'm not reaching out here, scooping hands full of text out of here. I'm not praying or dreaming. I'm believing and receiving. Oh, Lord. And my heart is aglow with praise and my lips with thanks. And my mind follows after the Spirit. And I see the truth and I think the truth and I imagine the truth. And I don't imagine I'm going to sin tomorrow. And I don't imagine I'm going to sin today. Glory, I imagine that God's going to keep me. Glory. And my whole being becomes a fire and a glow with the glory of Christ living in me. Amen. He quickens my body, the laws of my natural body now, to go after that law of freedom from sin and death. I think it. I believe it. I follow after it. I live it. First fruits of the Spirit, these are. Oh, but you say you've got a big convention after you've been saved 10 years to get this. Yeah, I know. Go to Calvary and you'll get it first time. I'm not saying you can't get it at conventions. Don't misunderstand it. It's only the wrong ideas we've got about it. God slay them. When he slays your ideas, he'll slay you. And then you'll rise up with God's ideas. Ooh, the depths of the wisdom. Lord, I never thought it. I couldn't imagine it. Father, Father. No wonder we groan in travail. Waiting not just for the first fruits, but as it were the whole family of blessings. Oh, glory. When we can live there in that realm, beloved, when this is all past and the very scene of our shame and degradation and corruption has gone, and God's blotted it all out, this is why we long for that heaven and heaven of heavens, the place of God's abode. This is why we yearn for the new heaven and the new earth, because of this. There, beloved, it's all going to be outworked in all its fullness. We're going to see it. It's going to be wonderful. But you've got the first fruits of the Spirit, haven't you? I've got to stop. I'm finished, but we better stop. You've got the first fruits of the Spirit, beloved, haven't you? You have, haven't you? Tell me now. Tell me. If not, you need to be born again. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Amen, Paul. I'll sign my name to that. I'll write it in the margin. Not Paul's book, it's mine. And God's. That's right. Listen, there's a great purging. There's a great working. There's a great ridding. There's a great cleansing. There's a great crucifying. There's a great carrying away out into oblivion, a place where they're gone forever and buried and forgetfulness out of the life. And all the life is left a roaring within, a yearning within, only for God to live his way. That's right. If you don't want to live God's way, if you want to live man's way, if you love man's little way, even your own private little things that you've idolized and so worked on them till now, they're part of your life and have a grip in you, and you can't live without them. I want to tell you, beloved, that God's perfect plan for you has all been enacted once in history. It's brought here in the arms of the Spirit, in this room now, in the mystery of eternal things. And it'll be given to you when you believe God. You won't have to consult anybody. Amen. Done. Now I'm pointing to you. You must answer quite up. You must answer up now quite honestly. I'm pointing at you. If I point up there, you won't think I'm being rude. Have you got the first fruits of the Spirit? Come on. You have, or you haven't? Glory. Lord, I have. Yes, I have. Amen. So wonderful. I want to start putting my arms around some other. There's no one there. Glory. Alive unto God. Wonderful, isn't it? Now, beloved, listen. It's a law. It's a law. It's an unbreakable one. Praise his name. First wrought out on earth in Jesus Christ, now taken down to hell, to exhibit it down there, now raised up, now lifted up to heaven, now enthroned in glory, the object of all worship. Hallelujah. That's the life. If you have it, you're alive. If you haven't got it, you're dead. Are you alive? Now, I'm not saying that the devil doesn't attack this position. I'm not saying that you can't go through some pretty rough times occasionally. Well, that's only to make a man of you. You don't want to be like this all the life, do you? Carried round in mummy's arms. That you might grow and know God for yourself and be led of the Spirit. And know that you're a son of God. And join in, look, beloved, with all those saints who he on earth has known the first fruits, and there in heaven feast upon him more nearly. Amen. Let's pray. I have it or I haven't. Now you tell the Lord. Lord, I have it. Lord, I haven't money. Lord, I want it. Lord, give it me. Lord, I receive it. Lord, I have it. This is the way. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if the Lord has cut you off for your parts from everything on this earth, and you know you can't live or die in that state any longer, then here it is. And it's yours, beloved. What think you? Did Jesus die for himself or for thee? Then have what he has to give. Take it now. Wrap your arms round it like I did round myself. And say, it's mine, Lord. Fill me. Fill me, Lord. I drink you in. You're my beginning and my end. You're my all. I exclude everything, everyone now. Only thou, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. Now go and live it. Go and live it. It's to be lived, not just thought about in a meeting. Hallelujah. If you won't live it, don't ask for it. God doth not play around with foolishness. If you want to live it, and you're going to live it, then take it and go. Glory. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we thank thee. We bless thee, Lord, that here together this day we can glory in thee above all angels and archangels and even the blessed cherubim that gaze upon thee. Yea, Lord, we glory in thee. Our praises tower up to heaven. Our bodies, our physical strength hath no power, Lord, to reach here. Lord, in the height of heights thou reignest. And thou, O Lord, raise us up unto thee, and we glory in thee, Father. Amen. Who hast destroyed sin, and brought the power and laws of sin to naught, and performed the miracle, and brought us into this manner of life which we enjoy, O Lord. That here in this natural we may display the spiritual, the carnal being slain. And we may glorify thee, O God, and walk after the Spirit, thinking the ways of the Spirit and doing the precious works of our glorious Lord until we see thee face to face. Amen.